West Virginians for Life worked closely with West Virginia legislators to do something very powerful. Together, we worked to pass a proposed constitutional amendment, which will be on the ballot for the November general elections. Amendment 1 says, "Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of an abortion." Its purpose is to cleanse our state constitution from abortion and allow the state legislature to exercise its rightful responsibility for control over the funding of abortion. Abortion would still be legal in West Virginia under federal rulings. What will change is that our tax dollars won't pay for an abortion, except in rare cases when the life of the mother is at stake, medical emergency, reported rape or incest, or fetal anomaly. The people of West Virginia will be able to decide whether or not taxpayer dollars should be used to fund elective abortions. Over the years, taxpayers have paid for nearly 35,000 abortions at a cost of almost $10 million. For elective abortions, for the entire 9 months of pregnancy, for any reason, or no reason at all. As West Virginia citizens, we have a moral responsibility to end forced tax payment for abortion. If you're not registered to vote, you can register online at the Secretary of State's website. It's fast, easy, and free. Go to ovr.sos.wv.gov. You can also register for free at your nearest DMV or using paper forms available from your county courthouse. Please consider hosting a voter registration event at your church or civic group. A couple of laptops in the foyer or computers in the fellowship hall can get a lot of people registered to vote in a pretty short time. Again, the website is ovr.sos.wv.gov. Please get your family members and friends to the polls on November 6th and vote yes on Amendment 1. Visit the website yesononewv.com for resources such as a downloadable fact sheet, to donate online to help educate the public about Amendment 1, and to order promotional materials including yard signs, window clings, t-shirts, and lapel pins. Again, the web address is yesononewv.com. yesononewv.com. We'll never have another chance to stop taxpayer funding of abortion. West Virginians for Life is counting on you to help with these efforts. Again, it is essential that every pro-life West Virginian vote yes on Amendment 1. This is Pastor Doug Joseph inviting you to experience the 2018 Fresh Oil Conference, Wednesday through Saturday, August 15 through 18, at Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Fresh Oil is a powerful encounter for people from virtually all levels of faith. If you're still searching, find an open doorway into a life of blessing in the kingdom of God. For new believers, receive a greater anointing for a deeper level in your walk with God. Be part of passionate worship. Discover your destiny by discerning the call of God on your life. Seasoned disciples, exercise your faith and gifts in service to others in the area of your calling. The gifts of the Spirit are to be in operation. For full details, click to freshoil.org or email info@freshoil.org. Or call us at 304-624-4459. Again, the website is freshoil.org. The email is info@freshoil.org. And the phone number is 304-624-4459. I'll see you at the 2018 Fresh Oil Conference.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WHAR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Recently, God used a lady preacher by the name of Hannah Sandy, who is very qualified with multiple degrees and is a professional counselor, to speak to our church about grieving. And our church has just come through in recent months the loss of two of our dear elders from our board of God-called preachers. And so our church is grieving, and there are no doubt some of you in our listening audience that also are bewildered in the pain of grieving. And the message is very beneficial, and I pray that it blesses you.
I'll just be reading one verse, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. Says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." And I might cry, and that's okay. Being a therapist, I get to learn all sorts of weird, useless knowledge that most people don't need to know about humans and emotions and the brain. And one of the things we've learned and studied and kind of come up with this concept is that all negative emotion, whether you're sad or angry or you're uncomfortable, all of those negative feelings stem from some kind of loss. If you think about it, really everything does if you just view it in the right way. If you get mad at somebody because they don't follow through, you're sad because you lost that expectation you had for them. If you lose a loved one, you're sad because you lost a person. If your finances are messed up, you're upset because you've lost a status. Everything stems from some kind of loss in our life. And what we've found is that when we're dealing with loss, whether it's a person or a thing, a relationship, that we go through these stages of grief. And the goal is to try to work through all of these stages to come to some kind of closure, some sort of healing about the situation. So tonight, what I'm hoping to do is teach you about these stages in hopes that someone besides me will find this information useful, because I believe that if you live long enough, you will inevitably suffer some kind of loss. So first, when we're talking with people, we recognize that there's going to be this stage of denial. There's going to be this place that you hit, you hear about this loss, and there's a moment in time where you can't even accept what has just happened to you. You pretend like it's not real. You say to yourself, there's no way, they are lying. When I heard about Elder Godwin passing away, I was getting ready for work and I happened to pull up Facebook to check something, and I saw Pastor's post that he had passed away. And my first thought was, there is no way, I've read this wrong. So I logged out of it and I logged back in and I checked it again, and then I went to his page and then I went to literally all of your pages and I checked, because I said to myself, we all make mistakes, Pastor's pretty great, but sometimes we just mess up. And I was in this state of denial. I could not accept what was happening, and I pushed it away because I had to go to work and I had to go see 8 clients and can't exactly be dealing with that. So I pushed it away. I denied it. It hadn't happened in my mind, and I didn't think about it all day until I got home and I fell apart. And next, what we find with people is that if they're not in denial, or maybe they've already moved past it, is that they get angry. Anger is normal. Most of us are going to experience anger. If you haven't, congratulations. But even in the Bible, we can see people who are suffering loss and they don't understand. And their first instinct is to get angry. And it's okay if you do. In the New Testament, Martha has just lost Lazarus. She doesn't understand why Jesus wasn't there. It doesn't make sense in her head because she knows Jesus can do anything. She knows that Jesus is powerful and he's mighty and he can deliver people and heal people and save people. So when she finally sees Jesus and she knows that Lazarus is dead, it doesn't make sense. And her first response is, well, if you had just been here, things would have been different. She was angry with the Lord. She was angry with Jesus. And that's okay. He understood. But we might think things like, God, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. Why now? We might be angry with God, and he understands. But often what we see is that we are angry with ourselves. Why didn't we spend more time with them? Why didn't we make them a priority? Why didn't we send that text? What happened that we were too busy to talk with them when we had the opportunity? And we can put a lot of guilt and blame and shame on ourselves, and it's really damaging. And If we manage to move past anger, we might end up bargaining when we're upset. And if you can go with me to Genesis 18, and I'll be reading starting at verse 16 and going through verse 33. So Genesis 18 and 16 says, "And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, Behold now, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, If I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, Peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure there shall 30 be found. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, Behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, O Lord, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. So in this scripture, I find it so fascinating that Abraham has a relationship with God where he's comfortable talking to him like this. I don't know that I would do that with God. But essentially, he knows he is about to suffer this huge loss, this mass wiping out of people, and he has family in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he goes to God and he's bargaining with God. He's saying, God, if there's just 50, if there's just 45, if there's just 10 people, will you spare them? I don't know that I can suffer this loss. If you read between the lines, he's saying, this is something I can't handle. If there's good people there, I can't handle this loss. God, will you just work with me? Will you just help me out? If there's good people there, will you spare this loss? And often that's what we do in our own way when we've suffered some kind of loss. We might say, God, what I would not do. What? I would give up everything if I could just have one more day with them. If I could just see their face one more time. If they could just hug me one more time. If I had one more opportunity to tell them I love them or to say goodbye, I would do anything you wanted. We bargain with God. We try to make sense of it. We try to get grasp on it. And if we manage to get through bargaining, we find that most people end up in some kind of depression, even if we don't talk about it, even if we never say it. So often we suffer alone and in silence. We don't know what to say to people We don't know how to talk about our sadness and our sorrow. So we hold it in. We grieve alone. We try to make it better. And so often we can't. We can't do it within ourselves. We can't make it better. We can't fix the situation. And if you are anything like me, I am a fixer. I like to fix things. And you come to this point where you realize, I can't fix this. I can't bring this person back. I can't fix this mistake. I can't repair this. And so you are sad. You might feel isolated and alone. You might find that things you used to love to do, suddenly you don't anymore. Because you go to do it and it brings up memories of that person or that time you had together or of when you were happy. Suddenly those things are difficult to do. You pull away from people because you get in your head that they're not going to understand. And if you're not careful, you don't recover from that. It's really hard to get well if you don't let people help. We really like to be strong, and I know all of you are strong people, and I'm a strong person, but we need people. We were designed to need other human beings. If we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need the church. But we can't. It's okay to come into church and to be sad. We don't have to smile and put up a front when we come in here. I think so often when we're grieving, we have to pretend like things are okay. Even when we go to funerals, if you ever pay attention to the family, they're trying to hold it together for everybody else. And instead of mourning, instead of being sad and suffering and just sitting in their loss and taking it in, they're preparing a dinner. They're trying to take care of people. They're trying to shuffle them from one place to the next. And they never stop to grieve and to be sad. But then everybody is gone. They go home, the dinner's over, and they are alone with a loss that they have not handled and they might not know how. So if they are lucky enough to have the church, this should be the place where they are safe and comfortable to grieve and to cry and to be sad. And everybody grieves differently. There's no right or wrong way to grieve. We have this picture in our heads of what grief looks like. We've watched too many Hallmark movies where people like pretty cry for 30 seconds. Nobody cries like that. I ugly cry. Like I look like Shrek. It's hideous. Maybe you guys don't do that, but I do. I'm an ugly crier. But we all grieve differently. And it's a really interesting spectrum when people come in my office and they talk about grief. Some people are like way over here and they are laughing when they talk about this person. They remember all of the good times they had and that's what they're able to focus on. And that's really incredible. And I have some people who, they don't even know how to talk about it. They just kind of sit there and they stare at me and they wait for me to say something. Someone the other day came in and they said, well, isn't your job to fix it? And I was like, I don't get paid that much. Like I don't have a magic wand. Like I'm going to help you through it, but I don't fix it. And then I have people way on the other end that they're so distraught that they can't even talk to me. They just sit there. And they cry, and I sit with them, and I hand them a tissue, and I tell them it's okay, and they're allowed to cry, and they have been through a tremendous loss, and I expect nothing else from them. There's no right or wrong way. So as the church, when somebody comes in, we just need to love them. We can't do anything else. We can't fix it. We can't change it. But we can sit there with them and we can suffer with them. We can mourn with them. We can take that grief. And what we find is that there's denial, anger, bargaining, and depression. And none of those are fun things. And for most people, they don't run through this nice cycle and then we wrap it all up in a pretty bow. For most people, we might run through those things for years and we might bounce back and forth between one and the other. And some days we think we're really good and we hold it all together. And then something hits us in just the wrong way that we weren't expecting and we are a puddle of tears. It may be weeks or months, years or decades later, and we're still grieving in some way. And in some cases, we never fully stop grieving. And that's okay. These were important people. They held a place in our lives. We never stop missing them and we never stop loving them. And even though we know that if they loved the Lord, they were faithful to God, they were baptized in Jesus' name, they had the Holy Ghost, we know that there is this hope that they are in heaven, they are in a better place. We're still just people and we want them. We want to talk to them, we want to commune with them. We miss waking up and seeing them or hearing their voice, getting that text message. And even though it's a little bit selfish, we still want them here, and that's okay too. We're not perfect people. It's okay to miss people. We don't have to pretend we don't. So we may go through this process for years, and it's all right. There's nothing wrong with grieving, running through these cycles. Sometimes I find that I'll be doing really, really great one day, and sometimes the dumbest little things will make me really upset. I had a client and I was having like a really great day, and it was this little kid and they like bopped into my office and they sat down and they were like, Miss Hannah, something sad happened. I was like, oh, what happened? And my dog had just died like the night before. And I was like, no, it's okay, I got this. She's like, my dog died. And I held it together and she left the room and I just cried for like 20 minutes in my office. It was the worst thing ever. Fortunately, my next client didn't show up. It was allergies, not tears. It was okay. But we'll find that things kind of hit us funny, or we think we're all right and then we're not. And then the next day it's better again. So it's a process. But what we find is that over time, with a little bit of help, a lot of support from the church, from our loved ones, it gets easier managing the loss, the pain, the suffering gets easier. We find a way to cope. And one of the most powerful things I see people who are going through the grieving process is that they find a way to move on without forgetting that person or forgetting what they meant. They realize that some things are going to have to change. When I lost Muffin, I realized I lost one of the most important men in my life. I lost the only person who had ever really been a dad. And that meant a lot changed. Suddenly I felt very lonely. And I wasn't getting text messages that said, good morning, princess. And I'm kind of in this process where I'm trying to figure out who's dad now. And that's okay. It's a process. It's readjusting life and your expectations, figuring out what has to be different because they left a hole. And fortunately for me, I have you guys, and I have an amazing pastor, and I have people that love me. But it doesn't stop hurting for now. So I know that obviously you guys have experienced the same loss as me. And I know that for many of you, you've lost spouses, you've lost children, you've lost family members. Things have changed even though you haven't wanted it to. And maybe you haven't lost someone physically, but emotionally, you've lost relationships, you've lost connections with your children, with your spouses. People are far away and distant that you never expected would be. There are things in your life that maybe you're not sure how to repair. You're not sure how to fix it. And tonight I'm here to tell you that's okay. I am here to be sad with you, to cry with you, to tell you that it's going to be okay and that we are so much stronger together than we are alone. So even when you feel like running, when you feel like hiding away, when you tell yourself that you don't want to get out of bed, you don't want to get up, you don't want to see people, you don't want to talk about it, do it anyways. Because you'll feel better afterwards. For a little bit, the pain dulls. And you realize that you're needed and that people still love you. So tonight, I don't expect that I'm going to talk much more, but if you could stand with me. Tonight, my hope is that these altars will be filled with people who love one another, who support one another in their loss, in their time of grief, people who want the people around them to know that we are connected and we love one another and we are here to support you in whatever trial you are facing, in whatever loss you are suffering. So tonight, if you're someone going through loss or change, come to the front and pray. And if you're not that person, find somebody to pray with because we all need someone. If you can come to the front tonight. Lord, we come before your throne knowing that we are broken and hurting. Knowing that we are suffering loss and that we don't always understand. Knowing that it's okay to be angry and sad, to be confused, to not understand what's going on. But Lord, tonight I pray that you give comfort and strength. Lord, that you wrap your arms around us, that you help us grieve our losses, that we find closure and acceptance. Lord, that you draw us nigh to you tonight. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for being our comforter, for being our healer, our protector, for being everything we need, even when we don't understand, even when we're angry with you. Even when we're hurt.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
This is Pastor Doug Joseph inviting you to experience the 2018 Fresh Oil Conference, Wednesday through Saturday, August 15 through 18, at Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. Fresh Oil is a powerful encounter for people from virtually all levels of faith. If you're still searching, find an open doorway into a life of blessing in the kingdom of God. For new believers, receive a greater anointing for a deeper level in your walk with God. Be part of passionate worship. Discover your destiny by discerning the call of God on your life. Seasoned disciples, exercise your faith and gifts in service to others in the area of your calling. The gifts of the Spirit are to be in operation. For full details, click to freshoil.org or email info@freshoil.org. Or call us at 304-624-4459. Again, the website is freshoil.org. The email is info@freshoil.org. And the phone number is 304-624-4459. I'll see you at the 2018 Fresh Oil Conference.